Welcome. The following information you are about to hear is part of the Love Success Series. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sherry Rose is the love linguist and affectionately is known as Lady Love Bucket. Men refer to Sherry as a go-to resource so men can understand and become successful with women both in and out of the bedroom. Oh my goodness. Sherry Rose is a masterful teacher and speaker whose specialty is translating the complexities of how women operate romantically and sexually into a language and format that men can get and apply with total success. He wins and she's happy. It is Sherry's passion to help men really understand women to massively fill her love bucket. The result is that lovers heal, bond, and enjoy mutual satisfying dynamics, both sexually, romantically, with feelings of enhanced love and affection. Sherry's websites are www.herlovebucket.com, which is for men, and www.happywomenlovemen.com for women. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you Miss Sherry Rose. Sherry, welcome to Talkin' Health.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here, and I love the fact that part of health is not just our body and our mind, it's also focusing on the primal urge of sex, because that is one of the biggest motivators to actually be healthy, to have a great sex life.
Now, Sherry, I'm going to say this. As I did the intro, I sounded a little nervous, didn't I? Let's cut to the chase. Could you tell a little bit?
Well, this is not typically your health and workout style conversation. So sometimes people are a little bit nervous when they reach this subject in a public forum.
You know, interesting, Sherry, because you and I met, and you know I'm not very shy, am I?
You are a very outgoing guy, that's for sure.
And here's a thought that just came to my head. I'm a recovering teacher. In fact, I used to be a health and phys ed teacher. And I remember years ago when I taught health in the middle school level, I did everything in my power not to teach the kids the sex sport. I said, you'll get to know the time. Whereas we had certain units to leave out. I purposely left that one out. And as I was reading your bio, that thought came to my head. Isn't that funny?
It's true. A lot of people get uncomfortable, or they get tongue-tied, or they start to stammer, even if they are masterful in a social situation like in my experience with you. When you're talking about this, about, you know, sex and relationships and interactions between men and women, a lot of it has to do with your background, how you were brought up, what is considered taboo, and also, you know, how were you treated in social situations because of your body, because of your sexuality, and how your sense of self-esteem and self-confidence played out.
Interesting. Boy, this is you know, Sherry, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, I guess as human beings, we're all sexual beings, aren't we?
That is the biggest driver that we have, and the love biochemicals, as I like to call it, testosterone, oxytocin, as well as the estrogen, and the things that tie in, adrenaline and dopamine and cortisol and serotonin, all of these love biochemicals are interacting. And when we are aroused, whether it's aroused because we are on a motorcycle or we're on climbing a mountain, or when we're in the throes of lovemaking, all these love biochemicals are pumping through our body. And that primal urge, the whole purpose of the continuation of the species, is one of the biggest drivers in animals as well as humankind, because that's the basis of our biology.
You know, you're right, Sherry, but it's funny, but as kids, or I'll say, you know, when I was a child, you know, I didn't talk to my parents about sex. I was nervous to do it. It wasn't something that came up at the dinner table. It just wasn't part of normal conversation. And I always thought that, like, you know, as a kid, you know, if you watch a movie that, let's say, showed nudity, that's considered dirty. And, you know, only certain people, you know, I guess when I was in middle school, I thought, well, if people had sex, they were bad, you know, and that was part of the stigma, I guess, when I was a little kid, that you know, only certain kinds of people do that, and then you get old and you realize it's not true.
Right. Well, with these sort of taboos and these fears that are put out by parents or teachers or people in positions of authority. When they do that, they don't realize they're actually damaging young people. Sadly, on the flip side, what's happening with the youth today, because of the proliferation of access to information and online porn, and it's just everywhere, that youth is disappearing. And you know, you see, you know, 8 and 9 and 10 year olds who are acting like 16 and 17 year olds, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So youth is sort of disappearing, and the one of the biggest drivers is young people, you know, giving up, you know, or not even feeling any shame at all, and just diving right into, you know, sexual activity at a very young age. But this show is not for young kids. So what we're talking about is for, you know, consenting adults, people who are of the age to engage in what's considered adult activities, and understanding that together, men and women can bring out the best in each other. And if you have a relationship where you actually experience lovematism, that's a word that I made up, and everybody can go to lovematism.com to check out the full definition, but that has to do with, first and foremost, sexual magnetism, and then emotional rhythm, two hearts beating as one, and mental hypnotism. You got to be on the same page as somebody, understand the way they think, what they're talking about, and then on a greater realm, and that is spiritual mysticism, the things that bind us together that is not in the physical world. And lovematism, when a man and a woman experience that, it totally expands their sexual dimension, and there's an understanding that you're making love a priority, making love a choice, because you want to get that lovematism in your life.
You know, Sherry, what you're saying, you know, really, really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm thinking about some of the things you're saying in terms of, you know, people, you know, doing sexual activity. They're really, really connected. And, you know, the way you're wording it makes a lot of sense, because people connect in so many different ways. And I remember a guy I played baseball with many years ago, and he would say this to me. He was in his 50s, and, you know, he was an older guy, and, you know, he just retired from playing. And he made a comment about, you know, when people say, well, you know, as you get older, sex doesn't matter. I'm sure you've heard that comment before. And he goes, Joe, that's a complete lie, because it does. So I'd like your opinion about that.
It's a complete lie. Sex always matters. It doesn't matter if you're at the beginning of your sexual experiences. It's always on everybody's mind. It's obviously in everybody's body. See, the love biochemicals really take over. The primal urge of sex is the biggest driver that we have. And ideally, you can control your primal urge. You can use it at the right time. You sort of can build up that energy and release it at the right time. You want to create sexual tension within your own body, and as well as create sexual tension in your lover. And, you know, men, when you get that big testosterone spike, it's one of the things, why do you work out? Why do you want to have a healthy body? So that you have that testosterone spike, you can share that incredible energy that you have with your love biochemicals through that incredible genetic wiring that you have, through sexual communication that you have with your lover, so that you generate love within each other's bodies. It's actually an incredibly healthy thing to have a great love life. People that have great love lives have healthier bodies, have healthier states of mind, and they have a much more happy outlook on life.
Now, Sherry, I remember when I was younger, I guess teens and stuff, and, you know, I'd watched a movie or see something on television, and it would show, you know, attractive, let's say, women. And I always thought that, well, you have to be really good looking in order to have sex, which is, it's another fallacy, isn't it?
Well, one of the things that, you know, men believe that if, you know, if you're more attractive and if you have more money, you will get more women. And I have to tell you, that is typically true. However, creating attraction in a woman, whether it's a woman that you are actually married to or your current girlfriend, if you've been dating for a while, you can create attraction on an ongoing basis. You can create it initially when you meet a woman, and you can continue to create that. That's creating the sexual tension and creating her desire for you. You got to generate that feeling of love. And a lot of that has to do with you know, do you know how to rock her world? Do you understand the sexual dynamics of a woman to get that relationship X factor? You got to kick it in so that she wants to come over to you. She wants to be with you. And in fact, you know, the really successful guys, the ones they call the natural pickup artists, they basically can make women addicted to them. And once again, that's part of the genetic wiring and getting those love biochemicals set so that the woman is hooked on you. And if a man is in a relationship or married, he wants to have the woman focusing on him. He doesn't want her looking at other men, and he certainly doesn't want her cheating or having an affair.
Now, you made a couple of points. Now, I want to ask you this. So, you know, you said about the looks and money. Now, I remember when I was younger, again, I would see at times, I lived in California, you know, where you currently live. And I remember I found it very interesting when I was about 20. And I'm seeing gentlemen 50, 60 with 20-year-olds for the first time. And Sherry, I found this to be kind of odd. And I'm like, why would someone who could be someone's father, grandfather, you know, be dating that person? And then your point was well taken with the whole, you know, it was obviously about money. And, you know, now the times have changed, because if you look around now, is you'll now see some older women with younger men. So it's not as prevalent, but it's switched. And, you know, we're entering a different phase of this world, because, you know, you can see a very attractive 50-year-old woman with a 30-year-old guy, and it's socially acceptable. But it wasn't 20 years ago, wasn't it? It's amazing how this, the world has changed.
Well, Pete, men and women get together for different reasons. Women typically, you know, and this is part of the biology of being a woman, are looking for a man with resources, because somewhere in their psyche is, you know, a family and children and wanting that protection and resources to be taken care of, to feed the kids, et cetera. You know, and that is something, whether it's conscious or unconscious, that is definitely something that is part of a woman's motivation. On the flip side, when a woman is older, she may not have those same desires, but she's looking for companionship. Older men are looking for, you know, whether it's arm candy, the trophy wife, the beautiful woman, because it makes a man feel like, you know, he is younger. He wants to have vitality. He wants to feel virile, and that pumps up his testosterone to have a young woman around him. Typically, when younger men and older women get together, it is because he's not feeling the pressure to have to perform like, I'm getting married tomorrow, we're going to have kids in 20 seconds. But there is a companionship level, and it's very possibly could be for a money factor. She may have money in the bank, or he may want to be with a woman who is sexually experienced and, you know, has self-confidence and knows what's going on, instead of a younger woman who is still trying to figure out what end is up.
Well, very, very interesting. Now, I remember, Sherry, during my dating life, which has been kind of interesting, and I'll be the first to admit this. You know, I remember when I, you know, started dating in my teens and stuff, and then, you know, I would hear, you know, girls make certain comments, you know, I want this and I want that. And I always felt, I guess, offended when a woman was very, you know, just met me, but was very demanding. Is, you know, here's what I want. I better get this. Here's what I expect. And, you know, I did what actually most guys didn't do. I said, guess what? I'm not interested. I didn't just stayed with the girl because she was good looking. And I just said, you know what? I didn't, that whole demanding thing when you first meet someone, I found it to be a complete turnoff.
You know, it is a big turnoff. And so many men complain about this, as well as women complain, my God, here's this guy, you know, he doesn't have a job. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's living out of the back of his car, but he wants to get together with me. That's the flip side. So what it is with women, when they're having these conversations with you and they're putting out these demands, it really means that they're sorting through. They're trying to eliminate the guys who are not good prospects. They're putting it out there to see if you match up to this ideal expectation that's in their mind. And it can really be a turnoff. However, women, there's something very important, that women are on a clock all the time. Women are run by a clock. And they are spending their resources, and the two resources that women are spending is their looks. So if you spend time with a woman and you have no intention of being with her on a long-term basis, no intention of making a commitment, no intention of getting married to her. You're spending her looks, that's one. And the other thing you're doing is you're spending her fertility. So when you hear from a woman when you first meet her or begin dating and she starts asking these questions, she wants to know, are you worth the investment to spend my looks and my fertility on you?
Well, you know, I never realized that, but even when the girl, you know, I was 19 or 20, I guess they were that way back then. This is interesting because I never really had a person like you, Sherry, explain it this way. It makes total sense. I mean, it really, really does. I mean, you know, the woman's looks and the woman's fertility, I never thought of it that way. I mean, I really, really never did. And it's funny, but at a certain point, as is my own stories, because I can reveal, you know, it's my show, I can reveal what I want. I don't mind people knowing the truth about me, which is fine, is that, you know, I started a pattern of trying to rescue women and clone them, you know, what I wanted in them. And that's another issue that I guess I have as a man. I improved on it, but that was one of the things that I had where, you know, I met someone, the relationship would, you know, attractive woman, and they live long distance and all that stuff. I did that for years, and things didn't work out. And I always blame them when the relationship crashed. Now I realize it was 100% my fault. I attracted that energy. But, you know, those situations don't happen anymore because I made a conscious effort not to allow it. But it happened for a long time, Sherry, for many, many years. And, you know, I welcome your analyzation of this. I really do.
Well, we all have patterns. And these patterns actually initiate through what I call a movie of the mind. We have a little movie that we play in our mind, and we're the, you know, the leading role in that movie of the mind. And the people that come in are, you know, the supporting cast, including your husband, your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, and other, you know, supporting roles in this movie of the mind that we create and we play out. And in relationship design, most people are unaware that there's this relationship design that we fall into. This is one of the patterns. And whenever you look at how do relationships start, you know, when you look at your past relationships, your current relationship, how did it start? What was the beginning of this relationship? And you notice that you have a pattern of attracting women that need to be rescued. And that's part of one of the most beautiful things about men is they're problem solvers. They are heroes. They are the white in the knight in shining armor. They step in and they make, you know, things all better. Well, if you are constantly attracting women like that, it means that you have need to, and I hope it's okay that I say this, Joe, that you have a need to be honored and respected because you're the savior. You need to be honored and respected because you are you and you are the great guy that you are. And so that, you know, just making that decision to not attract those type of women or making that shift in yourself to be more of who you are instead of needing to get external validation is a really important thing for not just you, but for any guy.
You know, Sherry, you're right. And, you know, I really thought about it. I did that for so many years. And isn't it funny that I even have, you know, a section in my book about this, in my book, Fire Your Diet, you know, about how you think in relationships. And when I actually decided that I didn't want to attract that kind of woman in my life, it stopped showing up. And, you know, it's so easy to blame other people, I think, in this world for our problems. But I think one of the most important things we can do as humans even is, if you're attracting negativity into your life, it's your fault. I mean, those women that I attracted from all different parts of the country, you know, and some were real nice and some weren't so nice. But I completely attracted that energy. The relationships all crashed because of me. And when I really took a good look at myself and I said that and I meant it, it really stopped happening. And it hasn't happened in a couple of years now.
Well, first of all, congratulations for taking responsibility for your own self. A lot of people are constantly blaming externally. But one of the most important things is really understanding your own morals, your own ethics, what I call your individual truths, the truths that you live by. Truth is not black and white. Truth is your own truth. And when you're with another person, do you share a similar type of truth of how you see the world, because there's so many different kinds of people, so many different cultures, backgrounds, and what's acceptable, what is your truth. So you have to have your individual truths have to be in sync. In addition to your individual truth, you have to have a personal values alignment. Your set of personal values also have to be aligned with the person that you're with. And part of that is levels of responsibility for what is going on in your life. And that doesn't mean you have to be a perfect person, because nobody comes into a relationship, oh, you know, everything in my life is great. My health is perfect. My finances are perfect. I have the best relationships with everybody in my family. My job or my business is perfect. We all have stuff. We're here on this planet to grow, to learn, and to improve. And hopefully you're with somebody who's going to help you grow and bring yourself to your potential. And part of filling the love bucket, when a woman fills a man's love bucket, or a man fills a woman's love bucket, gives you power, gives you additional energy in your life, and you definitely want to do that. So when a woman fills a man's love bucket, okay, what she starts to receive, she starts to receive attention, appreciation the way that she likes it. She will feel more intimacy. She'll feel more partnership. She will get love success. She will feel successful in that partnership. She'll feel happier. And I talk about the rings of desire of the love bucket. So her love bucket rings will be shined up. And obviously for the woman, and guys are so happy to hear this, you'll have more sex and better sex. And women can become what I call love diplomats, where you blend peacemaking with love making to have love diplomacy. And that love diplomacy is something that's really important. So instead of having the tension of anger and fighting in your relationship, you create sexual tension, which is incredibly powerful, which really drives both of you and to grow in your relationship, as well as it's a very healthy release when you have an orgasm and have that incredible lovemaking session with your lover.
Okay, sure. I have a number of questions here. By the way, my face is beet red. I am beet red right now. You can't see it, but I am. Okay. So there's some revealing there. Now, when you talk about with the fighting, now, do you remember the show Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The TV show. Okay. Everyone knows George Costanza. And he made a comment once, because I used to watch the show many years ago. I thought it was funny, one of the few TV shows I used to like. And he said, he mentioned the word makeup sex. And he goes, that's all the sex I ever have. And it's funny because as an athlete, I play professional baseball, and I still play semi-pro now. And I hear guys talk because guys talk, they just do. And, the divorce rate is like over 50% in this country, and it's crazy. And I hear guys over here saying, yeah, well, the only sex I have is makeup sex, too. I'm like, just like the TV show. What's the deal with that? I mean, why does that have to happen? I don't think it should have to happen, but for some people, it seems that's the only sex they have. Is that true, Sherry?
I don't know if it's the only, but the reason that it gets a lot of airplay or locker room talk is because there is such a buildup of tension, sexual tension, that's when it's released. You don't have to do it with a fight. You can create sexual tension in other ways. Most people don't know how. They don't have tools to actually build that sexual tension up so that they have that same experience of makeup sex without actually having to have the fight in advance. And it is true what you said about half the marriages in the U.S., I'm not sure about the rest of the world, do end in divorce. And partly it's because we enter into relationships with very unrealistic ideas, expectations, bad relationship design set, and with poor skills for maintaining them. They don't, men and women don't know how to fill each other's love bucket. And what's really important is that, love grows over time. Obviously there has to be some level of commitment for something to continue. You have to understand how to be flexible. Also to be vulnerable. Women have to be voluntarily vulnerable so they are open to the man being the man. There has to be a good level of communication, and there's other key components that are really important for a successful love relationship and for that love bucket to fill. And the good news is the love bucket does not overflow. The love bucket expands. It always will expand to receive more love. And there's many different things that you can do, many different exercises and ways of interacting that will build intimacy and love and what I call lovematism with your lover.
Sure, I like that word, lovematism. Is that like magnetism?
Yes, well, it's not just sexual magnetism. It's sexual magnetism, emotional rhythm, mental hypnotism, and spiritual mysticism. That's lovematism. That's the total mind, heart, body, and soul connection of two lovers, lovematism.
Well, you know, it's funny, Sherry, when I see like an older couple, like, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, and they're walking hand in hand in the park, I feel such a, like, wow, that's so wonderful. When I see that, I think that's the way it should be.
That they've got what I call the relationship X factor. And that probably comes from, you know, the combination of lovematism and other things that people do. And there are various things that can happen. One of the really special things you can do with your lover, and I'm going to use the term lover instead of husband or wife or girlfriend, boyfriend, because I like to think of, you know, the person who you are having an intimate relationship with as your lover. And there's something that started a few years ago in parties and has been done in a lot of, you know, personal development workshops. And that's eye gazing or soul gazing, when you actually are standing in front of another person and looking deeply into their eyes and really being completely vulnerable. You do this for a minute or two, and it's amazing in that very short period of time, you block out everything else, no distractions, and all you're doing is staring into the other person's eyes. That really creates a sense of connection. As well as if you're with another, with your lover, to imitate them. So you will, you know, start moving your arms, your legs, and have the other person just mirror you. And that's, you know, first of all, it's a completely goofy thing to do. But when you're linking with your lover and you're making that kind of a connection through body motion, that really tightens your connection. You know, obviously things like in an embrace and then trying to synchronize your breathing, you know, making that two people, you know, doing the same in the same coherent breath is really a great way to create a connection. Other physical things you do is to have that feeling of falling into somebody's arms. I mean, to actually drop and let your lover catch you. And if you do this several times, you feel very connected because there's that sense of trust that you have to have that person will catch you, because you're completely vulnerable when your body is falling. It's really falling in love. Some other things you can do is if you are in proximity to, you know, stand, I don't know, you know, 5 or 6 feet apart, and then every few seconds step a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And as you are coming into each other's personal space, you know, every country has a different personal boundary, you know, interpersonal space. But as you get closer and closer and closer so that you can touch, that this type of thing really connects you to another person. And what happens is usually you have this overwhelming feeling that you want to kiss and embrace your lover, just a really simple little exercise. And then if you've heard of Reiki is, you know, the energy most people understand, that if you're feeling that Reiki energy between your two hands. And if you place your palms close to your partner without actually touching, and you start feeling this Reiki energy, sometimes even sparks come out, but you will feel the heat, and that's another way of connecting. Those are some things you can do that are really physical ways of connecting. And then, you know, you can do some mental things as well. You know, there is something called photo reading or mind reading, and that is when you actually write down a thought and put the piece of paper down, and then you try to broadcast, you know, with a mental thought, you know, this is what I wrote. And whether it's a description or a picture or whatever it is that you have, you try to have the other person guess what it is that you're doing, and then you switch roles. Now, women are notorious at having men are wanting them to read their mind and getting them a gift for their holidays or Valentine's and things like that. That's not what this is. This is actually really trying to get mentally in sync with somebody. Or you can sit down and, you know, write down a wish that you have or a secret and something that you would reveal, that would reveal something really internally about you, something that you have a secret that you wish they knew or they would be participating with you in some way, contribute in your life. And you can either discuss it right there when you write it down or put it in an envelope and for another day and then open it up and have the other person read it and discuss what that is. Whenever you reveal yourself, whenever you make yourself vulnerable and share things that are really disclosing what's going on with you, it's a way of making that deep connection with another person.
Well, you know, Sherry, it's amazing. I just realize now that, you know, again, one of the reasons that all those relationships crashed was I never, ever allowed myself to be vulnerable in any of those girls. I never did. I wouldn't allow it because I was the guy, you know, I had the ego, the testosterone, and I can handle anything, and I'm not going to tell them everything about me. I'm not doing that. And I just thought that's what a man does, and wow, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong.
Well, and there's ways to do it. I mean, typically women are always running at the mouth, and, you know, say, as a woman, I can say this because I am one, that women are sharing things. I talk about the four different communication styles that women have, and when at the end of this call, and when your viewers go to lovebucketoffer.com/Joe, I will have some various pages and links of resources that they can, people can learn more, both men and women. And what's really important about, you know, being vulnerable is that sense of trust. And one of the things that men do when they take on that role, that fabulous role of being the hero, is that they don't allow that sense of weakness to come out. And it doesn't have to be weakness and there's something that's wrong with you, but it's the thing that actually lets you get closer and feel more intimate and connected to your lover.
Well, let me ask you this with connecting. And I'm going off a little bit of a tangent, so bear with me, Sherry, because I'm definitely not the expert in the arena that, you know, that you're talking about, because again, I've had my issues. That, let me word this the right way if I can. See, I believe life is about connecting, and I always thought for a second, people, who's going to be with you during thick and thin? And yes, it's great that, you know, someone's going to be with you when you're in great shape and you make good money and have house, cars, all that stuff, and it's fun and all that. Who's going to be with you during, you know, the times when maybe you're 7 years old and God forbid you're ill, you have a heart condition, a stroke? You know, my dad had a stroke, okay, and I went through this, and I helped rehab him myself. You know, my mother wasn't leaving him. She didn't want him in a home. That's her husband. And she stuck by him. And I know a lot of other people, there's no way they could have handled it, and I think that's because they had a connection for so many years that they went through their ups and downs together of life, finances, this thing. But when push came to shove, to me, that's real love, Sherry. That's my opinion.
Well, and what you're talking about here is a personal value. See, this, what you're describing is a personal value of loyalty. And not everybody has that personal value of loyalty. Some people are there, you know, they're there for the good times, you know, laughing together and having a lot of fun and, you know, doing, you know, crazy activities. We like to, you know, go on the roller coaster, or we like to go on trips, or they're there for the things that cause a lot of arousal and excitement. But when it comes to the unfun stuff, you know, when somebody gets sick, you know, is the person going to stick around? Now, when you go through a tragedy together, that actually is something that creates more of a bond, but you have to be willing to stick through it. And that really is part of your personal values, if you have the loyalty and that knowing that in your commitment, it really is something that is part of binding you together, and that person is there for you. To know that somebody is there, that you're not going to be abandoned, is a really important factor in a love relationship.
Yeah, sure. I remember this years ago. I owned a physical therapy chiropractic practice, and I had a my business partner, Dr. Paul Aaron, who's actually our stress doctor, is part of my coaching program. And I was with him. I mean, literally, I saw this, you know, his wife, who he met many years ago, was a beautiful professional dancer. And just, you know, she did so many wonderful things. And, you know, they were madly in love. And one day she got ill. She had brain cancer. And he did everything he can. They went to different countries. He tried every kind of therapy. I mean, he fed her with a tube. I mean, he did everything. I was there in the house, you know, watching some of what he was trying to do to save her. I saw that love and that passion that he had for her. And I was like, wow, wow, wow. And I said, wow, here's a couple that is going to be connected through eternity. And she, you know, she wound up passing away a couple of years ago. He actually since got remarried. But I know the connection that they had, it'll never leave him or her, even though she's not here anymore. I saw that, and I thought to myself, that's really, really a great love, because they had all the areas shared. I'm sure they had the other areas you were talking about with the sexual chemistry and everything. That was all part of their whole being and their whole life. And at the end, I saw real love, in my opinion. It was really fascinating. I mean, I was really taken by it. You know,
They definitely had the relationship X factor, and they filled each other's love buckets. And, you know, it's important to know, I mentioned earlier, what happens when a woman has her love bucket filled, how she feels. But for a man, what a man gets when he's getting his love bucket filled, or he's filling her love bucket, he will get in return. He'll have more sex and better sex. He'll have more respect that he deserves. He will have more feelings of intimacy. And then things very particular to a man, he will have more focus on what matters to him, whether it's what's happening, you know, in how he's living his life, what's going on in his business. He will have the right type of focus, because women kind of rule the roost. He will have more support on his terms, the things that are important that he needs support from her. And he will then also have more time alone in peace. Not that he doesn't want to be with her, but men need to recharge in a different way. And whether that time alone is because he's playing golf with a buddy, or he's just sitting in at his workbench, you know, making something with nobody around, it's not because he doesn't want to give her attention, but that's part of him recharging, because that actually does bring up the testosterone in a man, which he needs in order to survive in everyday life.
You know, Sherry, you bring up a wonderful point about, and now you were mentioning you were talking from a woman's perspective. With your permission, I'd like to speak from a man's perspective. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. And if I mess this up, please correct me. I'm laughing at myself. Now, you know, during my lifetime, Sherry, as a human on this planet, everyone knows that I've always had a lot of energy. And as a child, yes, I was hyper and all this stuff. I'm still somewhat hyper. And I never took Ritalin and, you know, medicine for any of that stuff. I'm glad I didn't. And I've had some girls in my lifetime, they go, wow, Joe, you're really hard to deal with. And I go, I understand what you're talking about. I have to wake up like this every day. How do you think I feel? And I make a joke about it, but part of me is, yeah, it's funny. But I was being truthful, because I'm like, you know, if it's hard for you to be around me, how do you think I feel that I have all this energy and I'm trying to accomplish this and that and the other thing? And sometimes I want to fire myself, you know, fire your diet. I want to fire Joe. And there are times when you talk about the man having peace that, you know, I do want to sit there for 10 minutes and do nothing. And it's like sometimes I could be, you know, wherever I am in the country, I could be driving somewhere. And sometimes traffic happens, and most people get angry during traffic. Sometimes I'm happy. I'm like, okay, there's traffic, and maybe the cell phone doesn't work, which is another good thing at times. And I put in a motivational, you know, CD in the car, or, Sherry, no radio, no nothing. You know, let's say for some reason I keep the radio off, or I'm in an area where it's just peace, and I have no radio, no cell phone, no nothing. And, yeah, my batteries feel recharged, and it's really, really interesting. And sometimes, yeah, I think as men we need that, because – you know, I want to have that at times, because I really want to do something, you know, next, but I before I go to the next thing I'm going to do, whatever it may be, I want to take a breath for a second. And I'll tell you something interesting about a man, and this is going to sound a little weird, but you'll get it. You want to know one of the most relaxing places a man can ever be in his life? I bet you know the answer.
And you're going to tell everybody.
No, I want to see if you know. One of the most relaxing. I'm going to give you a hint. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. This is something we all as humans do daily.
Taking a shower.
No, but you're close. Keep going. Something we all do sometimes more than once a day as well.
I'm going to leave that. One guess is good enough for me.
Okay. When men have to go to the bathroom and they're doing number two, and it's a relaxing situation to just, you know, sit there, read the paper, whatever. But I'm getting a little disgusting, and I apologize. I'm not apologizing, because that's what we do. It's men. So for men, for some of us, that, you know, 5-10 minutes a couple times a day is very relaxing. And sometimes women can't understand that, because when they have to go, it's a big rush, because they get the next thing they're going to do is. And men actually, I feel that I've spoken to, you know, clients I've coached with different health and medical issues, that by going to the bathroom more, they have less stress in their life.
Well, that is absolutely true, to keep everything flowing in all those parts of the body gear. In fact, even for women, if women have been pregnant and had a child that are listening on this show today, they'll know that at the time that you're giving birth, it actually triggers the rectal nerve. And so there is a connection between sexuality and the rectal nerve, which is part of release, not just release of your fecal matter, but actually there is an actual sexual connection to having a bowel movement as well.
Yeah, it's a very healthy thing, and it's just, it's something, again, that I've experienced all my lifetime, that when men go, we actually enjoy the process much more than women, and I think there's a lot to do with it. But I think that's one of the things that, as a man, I look forward to every couple times a day. I really do. And yes, folks, I'm revealing myself, but I'm not the only guy who thinks like that. I'm not. I'm telling you, I look forward to doing that.
Well, let's get back into a little bit of intimacy and love here. And what you're talking about is something that you would have the conversation with somebody who you are familiar with. And
absolutely.
when you're close to somebody and you have familiarity, when you're around them, it does tend to make you feel more connected, to have more positive feelings about them. And when you're in somebody's space, and you actually mentioned the bathroom, some people say, you know, when I'm in the bathroom, nobody can come in. Other people don't care, you know, come and go, change your clothes, brush your teeth, be naked, don't be naked, whatever works. And part of being in somebody's space and that proximity and familiarity is the connection, and that there is something similar there. I mean, I always say that like attracts like, you know, that whole story of opposites attract. No, it's like that attracts like. When you have similarities in your intelligence and background and levels of beauty and handsomeness, I mean, you need to have that to be in sync. I mean, sometimes you'll see a really tall man with a really short woman. You'll often see the couples are more matched. There's much more of a connection. You don't really see huge disparate, you know, differences. There's more similarity. We obviously, you know, mentioned makeup sex earlier, but part of making a connection with another person is having a level of forgiveness if you have been in a fight, understanding how to be flexible and accommodate things that are going on with them. And if somebody is making an effort to change their behavior in a positive way, that you support that. And forgiveness is part of the love bond, and there's a mutual connection when you have that, you know, through kindness and compassion with another person. And then obviously another part of being connected with a person is not just the act of making love, but there's sensuality and touch and sexuality, and these are things, you know, if somebody, I have a friend that whenever I go visit, you know, I'm sitting down, the next thing you know, I'm getting a neck rub and a back rub. It's great. Some people may feel that that's an invasion of your physical space, but it depends on, once again, your familiarity. And But there's always an issue with sexuality at the beginning of a relationship, because the love biochemicals create intense sexual attraction. With women, they often associate these with feelings of love, but you can't really love somebody, even though you may be sexually attracted to them and in the sexual act, without really knowing them and knowing their characteristics and their personality. And that gets back to the love bucket and the rings of desire of the love bucket. If a man knows how to fill a woman's love bucket, if he knows there are 7 rings of desire of the love bucket, but every woman needs about 3 or 4. So if he knows those 3 or 4, and he can be pretty much guaranteed that when he contributes and participates by shining up those rings of desire on a regular basis, then he's going to have the things we mentioned. He will have a better sex life and more respect and intimacy. He'll get the focus on what matters to him and support the way that he wants it. And then once again, that time alone in peace without her feeling that she's being abandoned, because he's got to have the time to actually recharge batteries.
You know, Sherry, you made a lot of really good points, and I'm going to ask you this because this is actually an opinion that I have, and I've mentioned this to a number of women in my lifetime, that, you know, you said the whole thing about, when someone, and you mentioned women, you know, think they're in love with someone, and often it's lust, it's the sexual chemistry, but that they don't really know the person per se, and it's, I think it's important for people to know people, but I always had this theory, and I thought, and I kind of still do in a way, that when you're dating a person, you're actually on vacation with them.
Well, that's kind of an interesting take on it. Most guys say they feel like they're on a job interview, an extended job interview.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. That's horrible.
It could be a vacation, sure.
Well, let me explain my theory. And again, I'm going from, experience over a lifetime, in my life. That, let's say people get together and, they meet and there's some chemistry and there's physical attraction, there's sexual chemistry. It doesn't mean you act on anything, but you have chemistry with the person. So you decide to get together and do fun things. And for some people, it's going out to dinner, maybe going camping, going to a ball game, going to yoga class together, and going to movies. And then you start, instead of hanging out once a week, now twice. But you're doing all fun things, okay? On trips together, you go away, the weekends, the whole 9 yards. It's like, wow, now the couple is really enjoying their vacations together. Because, again, they're not doing day-to-day operations. Now, I knew a girl that she dated a person, Atlanta to Seattle, many years ago. And she said they had a great time. And she decided that she wanted to see him in day-to-day operations. In other words, you might not know someone until you live with them or spend time with them and, people have jobs or careers or entrepreneurs, whatever. But when you're dating someone in that vacation mode, as I'm calling this, okay, and if I'm getting in trouble, let me know, Sherry. Please help me if I need it. That, they're doing all these things that are fun. But now what's going to happen when, people have to go to work and stuff has to be done around the house. And you see day-to-day operations, paying bills. And if you get married, you have kids, the whole 9 yards. And there's no dress rehearsal for a marriage or living together, because in other words, you're going from vacation to day-to-day operations, which can be completely different. So when this young lady went to Atlanta, I think it was about 10 years ago this happened, to Seattle to spend time with this gentleman she was dating long distance, after 3 days she went home. She said, I said, what happened? She goes, well, I saw him in his real life and I didn't like it. So I go, well, how much? And she said they dated for a year and they went all over the world together. And they had a lot of fun and did this and did that, but she saw him during day-to-day operations and didn't like it. So I'll let you comment here.
Well, what I want you to imagine right now is imagine 2 pieces of land that are connected with a bridge. Okay, on one of the piece of land is what you're calling dating and the vacation. I actually call that the area or the art of loving. And so that vacation fun time, it's the art of loving. That's all the really good stuff. On the opposite side of the bridge is the business of living. That's the job and paying the bills and all of the ins and outs and all of the implementation and execution of the things that need to be done, the appointments, the obligations, and the responsibilities. And in between, the connector between the art of loving and the business of living is this bridge. And that bridge is called the science of relating. So if you have good skills, as I talk about being a love linguist, understanding how to communicate, understanding the things that fill a woman's love bucket or a man's love bucket, if you know how to relate so that you can bridge the art of loving with the business of living without that bridge breaking down, without that science of relating, you know, disintegrating so that there is no more connection between the art of loving and the business of living. That's where the divorces happen. The connection of the science of relating between the art of loving and business of living, and most conflict and miscommunication happens in the science of relating. So something goes amiss when at the beginning of a relationship, when people are dating, they're putting all their time over there onto the land of the art of loving. That's really fun and easy. And they're taking care of the business of living. They're doing their laundry at different times. They're doing their bills at different times. But if somebody starts hanging around with you, you see how they live. Do they actually make their bed on a regular basis? Do they put their dishes away? Do they let the mail pile up for weeks and weeks? You know, do they let their kids run around with a dirty face and with cuts and bruises and without, you know, taking care of it? What is it? That's the business of living. And that science of relating is how you communicate, the two of you, so that you have an understanding. And that communication will be also based on your individual truth and your personal values alignment. Because some people may, you know, it's cultural how you live. And they have a different belief system, so your individual truth. So that science of relating ties both of those things together.
Well, you know, Sherry, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, if you think of it, in other words, you know, people do go from dating, you know, I call it a vacation, to real life. And there is a transition period because, you know, you just like you mentioned about certain cultures, there are certain cultures where, and it still goes on to this day, where a couple meets, you know, they're introduced by the families. It's a set-up marriage relationship. And within 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, they're married and live together for the next 50 years. And you don't know if they're either happy or not. You don't really know. But that's the way they were taught because that's what their parents and their parents did.
Right. Well, it's been shown. I think there are figures that couples that are in arranged marriages are fairly successful. And that's because they are basing the relationship design. As I said, most people go into relationships based on lust. They don't go into relationship design. They don't look at, you know, what are the different factors that are going to match us up successfully. When you have an arranged marriage, those are things that are actually factored in by the people that are putting you together. And, you know, there can be a lot of positive emotion and a lot of expectations that you build together as opposed to coming in with different sets of expectation into that relationship design.
Well, you know, this is really, really fascinating, Sherry, because, you know, I'm really, you're making me really take a deep look at myself. So this is really, really great. And now, I got to ask you this, too, because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, and, you know, the person's state of mind in that relationship, if you're a positive person and if you are somebody that has a happy disposition and that you, you know, connect well with people and you bring people into your life and into your heart, that's going to affect not just you, but the people around you and your love relationships. You know, if you're somebody who holds a lot of negativity and is a big worrier and is a constant nag, I mean, people don't want to be around you, men, women, or friends.
Absolutely. You know, that whole angry victim emotional vampire thing, you know, we could talk about that for about 10 hours, and I do sometimes. So, yeah, I understand that the whole negativity can really, really, you know, drain people and take a lot of their energy away and make some different people. But see, Sherry, I feel that people can change. And people say, well, you get older, you don't want to change. When you want to change, you can. I mean, I've changed a lot of my things about myself over the last 20 years because I wanted to. And I think when people are forced to, I think that's bad. I mean, if you want to change, you want to be a better husband, a better boyfriend, better lover, all the things you're talking about, you will be. You make a conscious effort.
Oh, absolutely. And what's one of the most important things in when you're putting that effort out there is that you are getting positive reinforcement and support by your lover. You know, if your husband or wife, girlfriend is not supporting you while you are making these changes, it's not going to bring you together. It's actually going to divide you apart. And if a man or woman is getting support, or I call cheerleading from the outside, and, you know, what if it's the secretary or the guy's secretary or the woman's boss, and they're the person that is cheering them on while they're making these changes, whether it's in their personal body because they're working out and feeling great, or they want to be a better husband or wife, or they're working on their business, whoever is cheering you on, whoever is supporting you and really enthusiastic, and not in a fake way, but in a true, you know, hey, I really care about what you're doing. I want to be there and support you. That really builds you and helps create that bond. There's a huge power of positive emotion and support and cheerleading when you receive that from another person.
You know, I agree. And I like that word, Char, you know, being someone's cheerleader, being there for them, because that will, you know, make the bond much deeper. You know, I think about this, that, you know, people that I've known over the years, and I'll use baseball players because I'm still one of them, and, you know, the ones that, you know, that I know that complain about their wives have lousy marriages, very simple. The ones that don't have great ones. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I can't say in any...
Right, I mean, you want your wife to be a sex-crazed cheerleader for you. That's absolutely, you know, what every guy wants. You want him, you want her to, when you walk in the door, like, saying, oh, honey, I was thinking of you all day, and you're so hot. And that actually brings me to pillow talk, which is a form of romance. It's one of the ways that we can stay connected to our partners. And, you know, I like to use the term pillow talk. A lot of people call it dirty talk, you know, talking dirty to her, talking dirty to him. And then there's all various forms. You know, there's the innocent, there's the soft core, there's the hardcore. And part of this is just, you know, what works for you to keep the spice alive in your marriage. You know, if your business of living, if that's the topic of conversation that you have, and you miss out on the conversation of the art of loving, or even the science of relating, which is the communication of the two of you, if your conversation is just like, you know, did you pick up the milk, and did you get the groceries, and what time am I dropping the kids off at school tomorrow, you have no love conversation. You need to have pillow talk. Whether it's fun and playful, or, you know, raunchy because you just want to get wild with your wife or your girlfriend, or your husband or your wife, then, you know, pillow talk is a really important aspect in bringing your love relationship together. And that's why I call myself the love linguist, because it really covers so many areas of communication, in day-to-day communication, as well as the art of making love.
Wow. Sherry, this makes total sense. I mean, I think this is great. Just, you know, the pillow talk, I think, is a great idea. Now, I know some couples, no matter what, Sherry, no matter how busy they are, they have date night at least once a week. I think that's imperative in a relationship. I really do.
Right. If you do not give your lover attention, and that is definitely a factor of time, and that you're doing that in proximity, meaning we're physically together at a date, sometimes you're away. Sometimes, you know, if you are in the Army and you're sent overseas, how are you going to do it? Well, there's another form of connection. I call it electronic contact. And because we live in such a connected world with social media and text messages and video chat, there's so many ways to connect, but you have to actually put it into your schedule. Like you and I, in order to do this call, we actually, when we met and we set up the date for this call, and we planned a couple of times to speak beforehand so that we would be on track with what we wanted to do, we actually engaged with each other so that we can create this experience for the listeners. We're putting time and attention in to each other so that the other people that are part of this will benefit. You do that in your relationship. You do that for your family. If you have to set the time aside to make the electronic connections or reach out and physically touch someone so that you are making that connection and creating that that bond.
I mean, absolutely, Sherry. Now, I got to tell you, I think, first of all, the information you've given here this evening has been fantastic. I've learned a lot of stuff. I really have myself. So, you know, folks out there, I know you're enjoying this, and I hope you learned as much as I did, because I just, and, you know, I'm looking forward to all your material, Sherry, because I think this is really great stuff. And, you know, real quick, because we didn't actually do it at the beginning, because we wanted to, you know, get right into the meat of this conversation. How did this whole thing start for you, by the way? How did you get involved with this guy? My fault, I didn't ask you at the beginning.
Well, what happened was, I'll tell you the truth, I had been working for a really big guru, and I won't say the person's name, and that job no longer was happening, and I'd gone to a business seminar to learn internet marketing. And it was at a really big seminar. I was sitting down, and one of the guys came in. He was late, and he was completely frazzled and upset. And I looked at him. I said, "Is everything okay?" He says, "I didn't think I was going to make it." I said, "What happened?" He goes, "My wife was bitching and complaining so much that I was walking out the door again for another weekend seminar." So I leaned over, and I whispered in his ear, "If you knew how to fill her love bucket, she would be packing your suitcase and kissing you on the cheek and say, have a great time and come back with all that riches and knowledge when you get back." And he goes, "What the hay's her love bucket?" So I said, "I'll tell you on the break." So after the break and at lunch, and it was a several-day conference, the last night there's a whole bunch of us that got together, and the guys was going, "Hey, Sherry, tell everybody about the love bucket." And I said, "Oh, nobody wants to hear about the love bucket." And they're going, yeah, tell us about the love bucket. I said, "Okay, well, it's my personal philosophy. There's seven ways to fill a woman's love bucket. And if a man knows these seven ways, or particularly three or four, because not every woman wants the same, and understands the particular considerations that go with them, if he does that 80% of the time, he's good to go. She's happy. He wins with her. And she's happy. He gets to be the hero. She gets to have her world totally rocked, and the relationship stays strong." So I proceeded to share with them what it was, and all the gals were going, "Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. You know, that's it." And the guys are going, "Really? I had no idea." And they said, "You've got to write a book. You've got to do a course. People need to know this information." And I said, I don't think so. I said, "Doesn't everybody already know this?" And they go, "No, they don't know it. So you have a responsibility. You got to get out there and share this knowledge with the world, because your way of putting it out there, your way of explaining, really makes a lot of sense. And the whole visual idea of the bucket with the rings, the multicolored rings that surround the bucket and hold it tight and strong, that hold the love, is really easy to understand. And you've described women in a very systematic, orderly way. And that will help men give women what they want, so men can get what they want, and everybody's mutually satisfied, and hopefully we'll have hotter sex lives." So they put me to the challenge and said, "You know, do it." So I did it, and here we are now. And other people have benefited from the information I've put together, and hopefully, you know, this is improving love, and people are having way more lovematism in their lives.
So this gentleman came to a seminar because he was having issues with his wife. It caused you to have a business. Is that something?
Well, that he shared it with me and was so appreciative of how I explained. He actually got on the phone with his wife, said a few things to her, and came back. He goes, "Oh, my goodness. She's like, everything's all better." And I said, "Well, you got a few other things to do once you get home." But when men can embrace and employ a woman's energy for his benefit, she also benefits. I say that men that are in the benevolent power position with a woman can expand themselves and their potential as a man and become a master man. And then a woman, if she understands the skills, can be a love diplomat once again to blend peacemaking and lovemaking for happier love relationships and love success.
Wow. Wow. Sherry, this has been phenomenal. I'm just, you got me floored completely.
Well, you know, part of having a healthy body and working out is having somebody to share your sexy body with. You know, why have those great abs, those strong arms, those beautiful legs, you know, and the beautiful smile on your face if somebody's not going to come over and give you a great big hug and anything else that feels good?
Thank you, Sherry. Again, I'm turning beet red. This time, I'm about as red as a beet.
Well, listen, beautiful. This whole call was absolutely, you know, rated G, even though it's for adults. And There's something really important about striking the imagination of another person and putting thoughts in their mind. And, you know, what I've been saying obviously was not necessarily pillow talk, but it does, you know, create ideas and thoughts that, you know, get your mind racing. And that will be one of the resources that I'll put on the page, lovebucketoffer.com/Joe, J-O-E. And so all of your listeners and my listeners that are participating can get these resources.
Well, Sherry, this was absolutely phenomenal. I personally enjoyed it. I know the listeners got great use of this, and I really know it's going to help the relationships both for men and women. It was really great. If you would, please give us your websites, your contact information, your mailing address, social security number, whatever you want to get the contact.
Okay, well, everything that we talked about and some of the resources and also special offers are on the website, lovebucketoffer.com/Joe. That's lovebucket.com/Joe.
Now, by the way, on the forward slash, is it lowercase, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it, okay. If someone writes capital J, then they might not go through. So okay, all right.
I'll make sure that the program puts it in both ways, so that however anybody gets it, they'll get it both ways.
Excellent. Now, what's the email if they want to contact you via email?
It will be on that page. All the information will be there.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay. Good. Okay.
This is a special page just for this call.
Excellent. And folks, as you can. Listen, Sherry is in very, very high demand. It's just phenomenal stuff. And I met this great lady on the Internet Marketers Cruise. It was great, and it was a great time. We learned so much information. Sherry, you know, really, I want to thank you for really giving people, you know, your energy this evening and explaining to them the greatness that you have and how relationships can be wonderful for men and women both. So I thank you, and I think you do great work around the world, and please keep doing it. I mean that. Just keep up what you're doing, and just because we need this. As a man, I need this.
That's right, because men actually lead better lives when they have women on their side. Because, and I say this with all due respect to women, a woman either has your back or she's stabbing you in the back. So you might as well have women on your side, whether they're working with you, whether it's your mother, your sister, your aunt, and particularly your lover. You want her to, when she looks at you, think that you are the king. And a woman wants to be thought of as the queen. She wants to be adored and cherished. So when you feel her love bucket, she has the feelings that actually make her want to radiate her positive energy onto you so that you become a more successful man, achieve your goals, fulfill your purpose in life, and then you bring all that back and you share it with her.
Wow. Well, Sherry, this has been phenomenal. And I want to thank you. This is great. And for all you folks out there, that was the great Sherry Rose, and she's just absolutely phenomenal. And Sherry, now give us your website one final time, if you would, please.
Yes, well, my name is Sherry Rose. I'm the love linguist, and the website you can go to is lovebucketoffer.com/Joe, J-O-E.
Thank you so much. Again, this is Joe Casper from FireYourDiet.com. If you're serious, not curious about getting healthy, you can reach me directly at 877-347-7839. And my email is joe@fireyourdiet.com. Thank you, Sherry Rose. Folks, this has been a great program. We will see you next week. And Sherry, just, you rock tonight. I just want to say, you totally rock. Thank you again.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening. The information you have just heard is part of the Love Success Series. Learn more by visiting these websites, lovebucketsecrets.com, thelovelinguist.com, and finally, lovematism.com.